This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're celebrating a huge NESCAC quarterfinal win at Amherst for the men's lacrosse team. Plus, a Bates first year won a NESCAC title in track and field, and the rowing teams held on to the President's Cup for the 13th straight year. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. Bates men's lacrosse team traveled to Amherst and defeated the Mammoths in a road game for the first time ever. It could not have come at a better time, as the Bobcats prevailed 12-11 in their NESCAC quarterfinal matchup. With the victory, the Bobcats are now 11-4 on the season and head to the NESCAC semifinal for the first time since 2017. They take on Tufts this Saturday at 3 p.m. on the campus of Bowdoin College, and senior captain Connor Hartman scored 4 goals against the Mammoths to lead Bates to victory. And he is our male Bobcat of the week. Well, Connor, first of all, what a win at Amherst there on Saturday in the NESCAC quarterfinal. You know, this was a Mammoth team that you went there earlier this season, and they won by a fair amount in that game. Honestly, what changed? What allowed you to flip this on them?
The first game, our issue was that we kind of got away from, you know, what has brought us success all year and what our identity is as a team. And so kind of heading into that second game, we were really focused on committing to being us for 60 minutes, focusing entirely on kind of the process and our effort in sticking to being us and not slipping away from that kind of thing, and not worrying at all about the outcome of the game. So taking one play at a time, sticking to our guns, and I think that's where we found success. When we're stubborn in being us and our version of lacrosse, we're a pretty dangerous team. So,
yeah, tell us a little bit more about what this team is like. What is the Bates men's lacrosse team version of lacrosse here in 2026?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a group of guys that plays for each other first and foremost, and plays really selflessly. You know, if you look on the offensive side of the ball, there's no one guy that really stands out in terms of stats, right? We're a team that's dangerous across the board and shares the ball really well, and I think that's kind of our offensive identity. But very similarly on the defensive end and in the middle of the field, like, we're a group that plays really well together, is really selfless, and you know, I think when we do that really well, we're a dangerous group.
Coach Anino is an Amherst alum.
Yeah.
Could you sense any extra joy for him to beat his alma mater?
No, definitely. I think that's definitely a game we have our eyes on every year. And, you know, we haven't been able to get them, but I think this was a good time to finally beat those guys. Yes, Coach and the whole team was definitely happy to finally knock them off and in such an important game. So, yeah, very, very happy there.
I know talking with Coach and a few other your teammates, they mentioned that you draw a lot of attention from the other team's defense, but you were still able to score 4 goals in this game, and obviously have scored a lot this year. How have you dealt with kind of the extra attention maybe teams have on you, maybe because of the All-NESCAC, because of the All-American type honors?
Yeah, it definitely happens, but luckily, you know, I'm able to lean on my teammates, right? I don't have to be the guy that's making something happen every play, every possession. I've got a ton of other amazing players around me, and I'm super thankful for them, right? I don't need to have the ball in my stick at all times for us to be successful. We've got so many guys that can dodge and feed, and so, you know, I can go possessions without having a point, and that's totally fine. Maybe the defense starts, you know, moving their attention to another guy that's scoring a lot of goals, and then I'm able to free up for something. So all that success comes from us sharing the ball really well and being able to attack with all different kind of guys. So shout out my teammates for sure.
I was going to say, like, you're a senior, obviously, one of the captains, but I'm seeing more and more of these, like, first-year names pop up. Charlie Hepp, Henry McCann, guys scoring goals right away as rookies. As a senior captain, what's it like to see these guys come in and have so much success right away?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's not an easy thing to do. Going from high school to the college, the NESCAC game in particular, is a really big jump. It's more fast pace, more intense, guys are bigger, stronger, faster, all that. So it's always really impressive when guys can come in and make that adjustment really quickly. So, yeah, I'm really thankful to those guys. They've worked really hard to, you know, understand the game, get with the pace and everything like that. So I'm really proud of them. I'm really proud to see them maturing so quickly as players. And they've been invaluable to our success. So, again, really impressive that those guys have done what they've done.
12-7, that's pretty low scoring, I feel like, for lacrosse. Like,
yeah.
On both sides. What was that game like? Was it a grind?
I mean, yeah, it was definitely a grind, right? We never were up. If you look at the box score, we never up by a huge margin throughout the game. So, again, it was kind of going back to what I said to start here, right? We're just, no matter what's happening in the game, we're not focused on the outcome. We're just focused on being us the next play. So whether we scored a goal or they scored a goal, whether we were up one or down one, it was just, who cares about the outcome? Go out there, be us for that next play, and good things will happen. And I think that's where we kind of found a lot of success.
Taking on Tufts this Saturday at Bowdoin, so yeah. A neutral site game. When you guys played the Jumbos during the regular season, you had a 5-2 lead there in the second quarter. They ended up rallying to get the win, though. What did you learn from that game? Because, I mean, Tufts and Bowdoin are obviously right now the top two ranked teams in the country. Tufts had a very long winning streak until Bowdoin recently broke it. I mean, what did you learn from that experience playing them, you know, in a pretty close game, I thought?
Yeah, I mean, we've learned that those guys are mortal, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in the past years, Tufts is able to get guys because people, you know, they fall into the trap of how Tufts' reputation is a big factor in them winning games. So we were really focused on, you know, not falling into their trap, not playing into the game that they want to play. And I think we learned that when we do that, you know, we can beat them. And I think we did that for maybe three quarters of the game in the first one. So now, you know, we're looking to do that for 60 minutes. And, you know, we know that if we do that, we can beat them. So I think we've definitely drawn a lot of confidence from that first game.
It's interesting playing on a neutral field. What are your thoughts on what this atmosphere will be like? Hopefully a home field advantage for Bates. We're a little closer to Brunswick than Massachusetts is. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be amazing. Championship weekend for the NESCAC. No one on this team has been there, so we don't know exactly what
right
what it's gonna be like. But from what Coach tells us, it's a pretty cool atmosphere. I think there will be a lot of fans there from all different sides. But yeah, I think the neutral site is great because, you know, no one team has an advantage there, so it's just gonna come down to, you know, who's the better team on the field that day.
Certainly. Well, anything else you wanted to mention about the season so far? Obviously, just I mean, you're going to be going to the NCAA tournament. This is pretty much, I mean, assured, I would say. So what are your thoughts on, like, this kind of a breakthrough campaign for everyone involved with this program, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's incredible what we've been able to accomplish so far. And, you know, in comparing us to past teams, like, what we've done is really special. But at the same time, I think we're not going to get complacent in terms of where we are. I think, you know, our goal is to win championships, whether that's NESCAC or NCAA championships. So we've got a lot more ahead of us, and we're still really hungry. So we're not taking our foot off the pedal. We're going to keep going and try to earn as much more time together as we can.
Great. Connor Hartman, 4 goals in the 12-7 win over Amherst at Amherst on Saturday. First time the Bobcats have ever won on the road there against the Mammoths. And now they head to Brunswick this Saturday. NESCAC semifinal, 3:00 against Tufts. The Bobcats get the win. They'll play Sunday at noon against the winner of Bowdoin and Hamilton. Connor, Male Bobcat of the Week, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The track and field teams competed at the NESCAC Championships over the weekend, with the men placing 8th and the women taking 5th place, the best finish for the Bates women's team since 2019. The Bobcats earned 4 All-NESCAC honors as a team, highlighted by first-year Alessandra Lindos winning the triple jump with a personal record leap of 38 feet, 11.5 inches. She is the first Bates women's track and field rookie to win a NESCAC title since 2017. And Alessandra Lindos is our female Bobcat of the Week. Well, Alessandra, before we talk about your NESCAC championship in the triple jump, your first year, Westbrook, Maine, Casco Bay High School. Tell me a little bit about growing up. What first got you into track and field?
I started track and field in the 5th grade. I started off with cross country, so I did something called the Reiki Road Race because I went to Reiki Elementary in Portland. And then I ended up going to King Middle School, which I did track and field for all of sixth grade, and then ended up in COVID. So, like, I didn't really get to do it my 7th grade year. And then 8th grade, I kind of fell out of it. And then in high school, I ended up going from the basketball team and then going and transferring it and ending up on the track and field team. So ever since then, I've pretty much been doing track for the past like 5 years. So yeah, it's been a ride.
What about the sport really appealed to you?
Just like the versatility, like being able to do whatever you want. You could jump, you could sprint, you could throw. So there's so many things that you can do, and there's literally a place for everyone, like of all shapes, sizes, differences, like literally everything you can do. Like it's unimaginable. So.
And for you, the triple jump seems to be, I mean, your favorite event, looks like, yeah. I would say, right, yeah. Based on the numbers you're putting up. But tell me when you first started doing the triple jump specifically, perhaps.
So I wasn't a triple jumper. I was actually a hurdler. Mm. And my high school coach wanted me to try jumping. So I started off with long jump, which I wasn't the best at, but he saw potential. So he was like, okay, we'll just continue on with this. And I ended up stopping hurdles and just solely focused on sprinting and jumping. So then at the beginning of my sophomore year, he wanted me to try more jumps. So I did high jump for like a day. That didn't end up working out. So we just completely scratched that. And then he said he wanted me to try triple jump. And I ended up winning the like regional meet with a pretty average jump at the time. So that was really exciting. And he also saw potential in triple jump. So he wanted me to continue on. And ever since then, I've been doing it. So.
Great. And then when you're looking around for colleges, what made Bates the place for you to stay in state here?
Just the community. Like, I had so many visits here, and the team was very welcoming. Like, I did so many lunches with Coach and the former teammates that have graduated, and it was just such a welcoming community that I felt like I would have a really good time, and evidently I do have a really good time.
And speaking of that, I mean, the triple jump group itself is having a great year yourself. Yes. You have Campbell Johnson, you have Alana Audrey, you have Grasa Bila, who has done the triple jump as well during her time here. What's this group like, and what's it been like to step into this as a first year?
It's such an electric feeling. Like, it's such a good group to be a part of. We have so much fun at practice. It's such a hype event. Like, everyone's there supporting each other, so there's never a dull moment, and it's such a great group to be a part of.
I'm curious, because like, Campbell's from Maine, Grasa's from Maine. Yeah. Did you ever see them when you were in high school and stuff at meets?
Because we were all in different divisions, okay. I really only saw them at like the New England Championships. And I don't think I ever saw Campbell, but I did see Grasa a few times, and I've known her for a very long time as well. So it was very good coming in, knowing someone and being familiar with some people already.
How'd you first get to know Grasa?
We ended up going to the Boys and Girls Club together.
Oh, nice.
When we were like really young, and then we kind of lost touch, and then ended up reconnecting here.
So that's got to be fun, reconnecting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then NESCAC Championships, you won the championship in the triple jump. You were favored coming in, but obviously nothing's ever guaranteed. So take us through the meet from your perspective. What really stood out about it?
It was a roller coaster of emotions. Like, I just didn't know. I didn't have any expectations going in, because I was in the second flight. So there's, in triple jump and pretty much all jumps, there's flights. So it's kind of like heats with like running. So the first flight is usually like, it'll rank from top to bottom. I don't really like putting it that way, but that is how it is.
Yeah.
So like, it'll be like the bottom half, or like the more mediocre jumpers, I guess, if you want to put it that way, in the first flight. And then the more like competitive, or like the more advanced jumpers, will be in the second flight. So there was a girl that ended up jumping 1170. I think it was like 1173, actually, if I want to be exact. And I was like, oh, that's really close to my mark. So I went in like being like, I gotta win. Like, there's no chance that I was gonna let that happen. So I ended up having not really a great jump on my first jump. It was like around 1150 or like 1140 something. I don't remember. And then my second jump ended up winning me the meet. So I was very surprised that jump won, because the competition was unreal. So that was really exciting. And we ended up going on to finals, and that's another three jumps where it really only takes one jump. So like, anything could have happened. And like, everyone was having such big PRs that day. So it was such a nerve wracking feeling. And I was really hoping that my jump would be enough to win. And it was.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, like, the final round, like, you mentioned six jumps. The final round, by the time you went, did you know you already had won, or were there still other people after you?
I was the last person. I had known, but I had gone in, like, wanting to hit 12 meters, which I still have a few weeks to do, so I'm not really bummed about it. But I had gone in with that intention, and the last jump, which I ended up fouling, was probably going to be close to that, which I was kind of sad about, but I don't know. It was just like I didn't even know how to feel, if I'm being completely honest.
38 feet, 11.5 inches, 11.87 meters for those who prefer the metric system. Mm-hmm. For us here, obviously, the name Sally Cisse means a lot. She owns the record over 40 feet.
Since I got here, he's been waiting for me to break the record, and I'm like, that's a very big, big record for me to be able to try and break. But yeah, all respect to her. She's literally my inspiration, like the reason why I'm still doing it. So it's very fun to be getting close enough to be compared to her, but also like having that respect for her is a big thing for me.
When you say he, do you mean Curtis?
He as Curtis and she as Sally Cisse.
Oh, both.
Yes.
Do you know Sally?
No, but I do. I coach Art, also coached her. So yeah. I've seen videos and like heard about her a lot. And she's a very big inspiration for me as of right now.
So the coaches have told you you're going to break that
record? Yeah, pretty much every practice. It's always Sally Cisse, Sally Cisse. So.
Have you ever reached that mark in a practice, or do you?
No, I've gotten as close as I've gotten, so 11.87, almost 39 feet. So I'm about a foot and some change away. Yeah. So, that's pretty exciting.
Why do you think the triple jump is such a good event for you, like of all the events? Why do you think it fits the best, it seems like?
I honestly couldn't answer that question. I think it's just been the most, like, visually and physically appealing, even though it takes so much toll on your body. Like the amount of pain I've been in for the last like year, just like getting back into it because I was injured during preseason. So it's definitely been like a roller coaster getting to where I am. But I do think that it is something that allows me to do so much because there's so much room for improvement. With long jump, it's like you just got to get down the runway. If you don't have the speed, you don't have the speed. But you can work on your phases, which does make a huge difference in the length that you jump. So,
how cool is it for you to go 1-2 with Campbell?
That was actually the most insane thing. Like we all had no expectations going in, and just seeing the results and like hearing them call both of our names was such a great feeling. And also Alana as well made it to the top eight, even after only having three jumps. So that was really big for us to score 19 points as just the triple jump squad.
Yeah, certainly. Are you back in action, you personally, at New England's this weekend, or you take a week off?
I'm hoping to take a week off, but because my legs are, I'm kind of in pain. Yeah. But if I do have to end up competing, it is a great opportunity, and I'm ready for the challenge, so.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you're kind of in position for nationals right now, right?
Yes. 13th, I think, tied with, I don't remember her name, but I'm tied with another girl in top 20 go to nationals. Mm. So it's definitely a chance, but anything could happen in the next 3 weeks. So I'm just trying to hold on and try to get better within these last 3 weeks that I have before NCAAs.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I mean, as a first year, what's the transition to college been like for you, I guess?
It's definitely been a lot dealing with the various hours of practice that we have per day. It's anywhere from 1.5 to 3 hours of practice a day. So it's definitely been a big difference because I was not as active within like practicing. I only did like about an hour a day for when I was in high school. So it's definitely been a big change, and along with the rigor of like Bates Academics also. So it's been a big adjustment, but I think I've gotten the hang of it, and I think I'll be very comfortable next year with the workload now that I've been more familiar.
Yeah, sure. And you mentioned Art, obviously working with him because he coached Sally as well. What have you been learning from Art?
I think because I didn't really have like a jumps coach, so having him be a jumps coach, it's really helpful. Like I don't think that I would be able to be potentially at roughly 39 feet without him. So it's been a great experience being able to be coached by him, and also just like having him talk up about like how Sally Cisse had so much progression over her 4 years. It makes me really excited to see what is to come.
Yeah, you did something she didn't do in the first year, winning the NESCAC title. It's got to be pretty encouraging. Any other thoughts you wanted to share on the conference championship meet we haven't got to talk about?
I think just like being there, not everyone gets to go. So right. Just being there is such an electric feeling. Like everyone is just cheering each other on. It's such a hype event or such a hype meet. So like having a bunch of freshmen, there was probably almost all the freshmen that were able to compete there. So it's just a good thing being kind of at the bottom, if you would say, and still being able to show out like we did. So
yeah, fifth place showing for the women's team, best since 2019. Yeah. Alessandra Lindos is the NESCAC champion in the triple jump, and she's also our female Bobcat of the week. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it. The rowing teams won the President's Cup by 1 point over runner-up Colby on Sunday, with the women's team winning every race along the way. It came down to the men's Varsity 4 race, and senior captain stroke seat Luke Demizon helped lead the Bobcats past Bowden for second place, scoring enough points to avoid a tie for first with Colby. He and women's third Varsity 8 bow seat and team captain Merrill Doherty join us this week to look back on another President's Cup win for Bates. Luke, let's start with you, because I believe you were in the Varsity 4 that had to hold off Bowden in order to prevent a tie, right? So take us through that race.
That was actually the second race for all the guys in that boat. So we just raced the 8 earlier. And yeah, it wasn't a combination that we've rode in before, so we're kind of just figuring it out on the paddle up. And got going, and we are seated in the middle lane, which is a bit tough. So we're sort of, Darian did a fabulous job coxing and steering, particularly keeping us like right between Bowden and Colby, who were both encroaching on our water quite a bit the whole way down. So yeah, a little bit of a gritty race, and it came down to the wire with Bowden, but we were able to pip them at the line. And Colby sort of got out a little bit ahead of us and were, you know, sending us some dirty water the entire time, which is a bit tough.
Gotcha. Did you know kind of where you had to finish, or did you, or were you just focused on the race?
No, I think you're just, you know, trying to, you know, put the best race that we could out there. After the fact, you know, we heard that was partially what helped decide it, and that's always a relief. So.
Yeah, certainly. Merrill, you're in the third Varsity 8, right?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that race, because you all got first in that one. Just take us through how it went from your perspective. Was it a difficult battle with the water and everything like Luke's or not?
Yeah, well, I think going in before this year, the third Varsity 8 had never counted for points. Mm. So I think it was a bit of a shift in mentality even before we got on the water. But it was also a tight race between us and Bowden. They were only a couple seconds off of us. They had kind of jumped to the lead like at the start, and then we kind of walked back and then finished through at the end. So yeah, it was also a really good race from us.
And just overall the day, obviously, you know, just tell me like the experience of the President's Cup. What's it like compared to other regattas perhaps you go to?
Yeah, I think it's nice, obviously, being at home. Having a lot of supporters there is always kind of good for our team in general. And then everyone normally gets to race President's Cup like across the board, which is definitely fun for people who haven't had a regatta yet. So it's good to get experience. And yeah.
Luke, one thing I've noticed about the men's team this year, I mean, you have 5'8". Like there's a lot of people on the men's team who are in boats. Tell me about this depth, and from a captain's perspective, what's that like?
It's really, really exciting. I remember being a freshman and only being, you know, 3'8" and a couple of guys deep. So to see how the program has grown, not only in skill and in speed, but also, like you said, in depth is really, really great. I mean, it's awesome to see like the guys who've just walked on. I mean, we have a number of guys who started rowing, who just learned to row in Florida in February, and who are now racing in the 5th, 4th, and 3rd Varsity 8s. And they're really, really pushing all the guys around them to be better. And that's what's most exciting about it, is that the guys in the 5V, you know, are really, really excited to chomp at the bit. And so they're pushing the guys in the 4V who push the guys in the 3V, et cetera, et cetera. And it makes a really, really fun environment. I mean, anytime you can line 5'8" up and do, you know, 2,000 meter pieces is awesome.
Certainly. Merrill, tell me a little bit about the experience of being a captain this year.
Yeah, it's definitely been a new sort of thing for the three of us in general. All three of us walked on our freshman year. So I mean, we've kind of all we've known about rowing has been at Bates. So it's been kind of awesome to lead the team in that way. We have a very young group of girls. There aren't a lot of upperclassmen. So just kind of trying to connect with people that are 2-3 years younger than you is always a little bit of kind of a finicky sort of thing. But I think we've done a good job so far.
So when you came to Bates, you'd never rowed before? Were you a novice?
No. Yeah. It was my first time on the water in September, my freshman year. So
take us back to that time. I mean, what inspired you to join the team and what has have inspired you to stick with it and now, you know, be a leader this year?
My freshman year, a girl across the hall from me in my dorm was on the rowing team, and she said that they were looking for people to walk on, and I hadn't been doing anything for the first, like, 2 weeks. So, and I played sports, like, all through high school, so that was always, like, a big part of my life, and I've kind of just stuck with it because, obviously, like, I mean, I'm sure you hear this a lot, but the people have always kind of been, like, my reason for staying, my teammates, and just kind of the atmosphere that they bring is, like, really, really special. And that's kind of always been what's, like, driven me to go to practice every day, every race. Like, yeah.
And so now that you see these first years coming in who are – some of them are novices like you were back in the day. What mm-hmm. do you tell them about, you know, what lessons are you trying to impart on them?
Yeah, it's sort of, like, a similar thing where it's, like, obviously I didn't know how to row before, so the rowing was never really what, like, kept me going because it – like, I had to learn to fall in love with the sport. But, like – being with my teammates had always been something like I had been a part of. And so I think like the team aspect of it and like the culture that Bates rowing is really something that like I at least try to hammer down to people who have never rowed before because like the rowing is something unfamiliar. But like having a team culture and having a group that like has your back is something that like people do know about and like is special.
Great. And then, Luke, a championship season starts, right, this Saturday with New England's down there at Lake Quinsigamon. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on, you know, the men's team's goals. How many boats are you bringing? What's kind of going through your mind heading into championship season here?
Yeah, I think we're bringing just about everybody. There isn't a 5V proper event, so we're going to be sending 2 4s, I believe,
gotcha.
Instead.
Okay.
But everybody will be there. And in terms of goals, I think we're sort of more obsessed with the process right now than any outcome. And that's really the biggest message. I think this past weekend was tough, sort of putting us in a position that we haven't really experienced yet. And I think the men's team is, you know, indebted to the women's team in that they were able to secure a lot of first place points for us. But looking ahead, as you said, to New England's and then the National Invitational is really, you know, right now being as internal as possible and not worrying about where the competition is because we have our sights set for, you know, Worcester come 2 weeks and then hopefully Sacramento, knock on wood.
Right, exactly. You mentioned bringing a couple fours to New England's. You're only obviously in the first varsity eight, but then you mentioned being in a four as well this past weekend. How many times have you been in a four here at Bates? I mean, and is experience significantly different when you're racing in one of those?
Yeah, I mean, I've raced fours a lot in my life. I mean, I came from an all fours program in high school, so I have some experience there. But yeah, I haven't had the chance to race that boat a lot here. I really, really like it. I think it's a little bit more of an intimate setting. You can't be as much of a bear in the four as you can in the eight. You know, it's sort of, you know, rewards a lot of patience and technical poise, which I really, really enjoy. I think it takes a good deal more skill, especially when you have a coxswain too. I mean, it's quite a heavy boat, and so making it light is a bit of a challenge. But it's definitely a really, really fun boat, and you know, the speed changes so much quicker than in an eight. So when you're racing, you know, especially at New England's or the National Invitational, things can change so quickly.
And you mentioned, you know, Colby being ahead of you and bringing that rough water in your race in the fours. What was the eight race like with them? Was it similar or was it different?
The eight race was babble the entire time.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's the way you want it to be. It's, it's really, really fun. And to be able to go down the course against them, just duking it out the whole time. They got up maybe half a length off the start. And then we sort of walked it back to, I would say, you know, even maybe a seat up, seat down, somewhere in there. And then we kind of pushed out at like 12:50 and got sprinted through at the end. That's really as simple as that. I mean, a loss by whatever, 6/10 of a second, which, you know, on the finish camera is really, really tight. But it's a margin that, you know, is sort of easily reversible.
Sure.
Under the right circumstances. But like I said, I think right now, just using that as fuel for the next 2 weeks.
I didn't realize this, but I saw in the results, Androscoggin River, it's a 1,900-meter course, not 2,000?
Yeah, so we race into the current. Okay. So Coach likes to shorten it a little bit because then you get times that are a little bit more similar to 2K and flat water, no current.
Mm.
And the Skog also tends to be a bit of a headwind usually. So we get like a lot of northerly winds, so that also adds to it. And recently, I don't think we've had too much flow, but it was just enough for Coach will, you know, move it within a 50 to 100-meter range.
Gotcha, gotcha. And then Merrill, I mean, same question I asked Luke about New England's coming up. What's the women's team thinking? What's your kind of your goals going in?
I think for the most part, like obviously people are excited. We haven't had a lot of head up competition with a lot of the NESCACs that will be there for this weekend and the next weekend. And we got on the water pretty late this year, but we've just kind of been trying to buy back that time. I think this weekend will be really good for just kind of doing a trial run, see how we fare up against other teams. This particular week, Coach always says we kind of have a bit of an advantage compared to the rest of the NESCAC schools because we're done with exams and this is everyone's exam week. So normally we're out there like twice a day practicing, just trying to get some more water time. But yeah, I think this weekend will be good to see kind of how we shape up.
Yeah, so Luke, is this a big week to get better kind of every day?
This is a huge week to get better every day. And we're going to be working really, really hard all the way through New England's. So that's why I say process over the outcome right now. Just trying to get better with every session, every stroke.
Great. Well, any other thoughts either of you want to share on the President's Cup we haven't gotten to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a good turnout just in terms of, you know, spectators, kind of the women's team in general. I think we were very happy with our results across the board in all of the eights and then also in the varsity four. I think people had a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's always such a great atmosphere. It's so nice to see, you know, obviously this week a lot of people are gone, but the people that are still on campus to come through and say hi, and then also administrators, that sort of thing. And yeah, I mean, it's good fuel for the men's team, and we're super happy and excited to support the women's team and their successes.
Securing the President's Cup for the 13th straight year. We got third varsity eight, bow seat, senior captain Merrill Doherty, and first varsity eight, first varsity four, also stroke seat, Luke Demizon, team captain as well. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Some big events coming up for Bates Athletics include the men's lacrosse team at Bowdoin to take on Tufts in the NESCAC semifinal this Saturday. The softball team celebrating 50 years of Bates softball this Saturday after their senior day doubleheader with Trinity. And the track and field and rowing teams headed to the New England Championships. We'll recap it all next time on the Bates Bobcast.